are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. Happy to be with you. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, and there you can find links to all my latest work. You can also participate in this week's Twitter Tuesday. Make sure you get those questions in and you tag them Ask P Train so that I can find them. If you prefer to email them to me, you can go ahead and send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Always welcome questions from the listeners, and appreciate you guys. You guys are tremendous, and the mailbag is probably one of my favorite features of the week, so hope to hear from you. So on today's show, I'm going to have some thoughts for you about the Giants as they enter week two of the preseason, you know, things to expect, and the like. And then later on in the program, I have a one-on-one interview that I did with inside linebacker Ty Davis, who has been who has kind of leapt ahead of BJ Goodson. It's been Ty Davis, it's been you know, Ryan Connolly working alongside of Alec Ogletree in the defense, and Ty Davis has really taken a step forward in his development. So he and I did a one-on-one interview in which we talked about his development and what's ahead for him. So that's going to be coming up in segment three of the program. But first, let's jump in and let's kind of get you caught up on the latest news from Giants practice. The Giants did return to practice on Sunday. And a little bit of bad news for the Giants. Starting cornerback DeAndre Baker, the rookie, he's undergoing an MRI on his knee as I record this. Now, the results, I'm thinking we should hear something probably by Monday. DeAndre Baker, prior to warm-ups in today's practice, unfortunately, he felt something in his knee. I'm not sure which knee it was. Head coach Pat Shurmur did not say which knee it was, but he felt a little something in his knee, and as a precautionary, the team sent him to have an MRI just to check it out, make sure that, you know, nothing's going on in that knee. So he did not practice today, and Corey Ballantyne, who, you know, looks so good. He had a really good game on Thursday night in the preseason opener against the Jets. Corey Ballantyne stepped in and he took Baker's snaps with the first team defense. But, you know, Giants cornerbacks right now, that position is starting to get a little bit thin. Grant Haley was able to practice, but he's still wearing the yellow penny, which means no contact for him. So technically he's still limited. And, you know, now you have Baker, who, you know, wasn't able to practice today. And then, let me see, I think Sam Beal was also unable to practice. Sam Beal is dealing with that groin injury. So Giants getting a little thin there at the cornerback situation. Let's hope that DeAndre Baker's injury, whatever it is not something serious. But certainly you don't want to see a rookie have to interrupt his progress, especially when he needs those snaps. And when he has to interrupt those that progress that he's been making, that is generally never a good thing. So again, as soon as I have information on that, I will get something out to you. So make sure, again, you're following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina for that information. Other injury news, offensive tackles, George Asafo-Ajayi, who is in the concussion protocol. He didn't practice. Brian Mihalik, who had a burner, did not practice. Chad Wheeler returned to practice today. Chad Wheeler had been dealing with a back injury, so he was able to return to practice, give that offensive tackles a boost. But, you know, the fact that Asafo-Ajayi is still in that concussion protocol, that is concerning to me. Look, I get it. With concussions, you don't want to rush back from them. You know, you don't want to run the risk of, you know, making it worse. And certainly there is the protocol to go through. But this is, I think, I want to say the second I think it's like the second full week or possibly even the third week that this young man hasn't been able to practice. And that does not bode well for his chances on the roster. As it stood, I had Big George making the practice squad. I did not think he would make the 53-man roster, but you know, it's certainly something to keep an eye on. You know, if the injury is bad enough, you know, will they maybe just put him on the shelf, put him on season-ending IR, and just call it a day and bring him back next year? So that's something to keep an eye on, because remember, next year, or I should say after this year, Mike Remmers is only signed to a one-year deal, so he becomes a free agent after this year. I think Chad Wheeler is up for his contract will be up after this year. So I think the plan was to, you know, develop Big George, get him ready, and maybe get him into the mix for a starting job next year. So if he ends up on injured reserve, and again, it's too early, you know, hopefully the hope is that he'll be able to come back and get some practice time in and make up for what he's lost. But if he does end up on injured reserve, that could factor into what the Giants do in the offseason with free agency. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself, I realize, but just wanted to throw that out there. Other injuries, linebacker Alec Ogletree has a calf strain. Running back John Hilleman is in the concussion protocol. And I think I mentioned this, if not, Grant Haley with the shoulder, he was limited. And receiver Sterling Shepard was limited as well. So, all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some thoughts about week two and what I hope to see from the Giants, especially with the quarterbacks going forward. And then don't forget, in segment three, we do have that interview with linebacker Ty Davis. So all that is coming up. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Locked On Giants segment two. My name is Patricia Traina. Always happy to be with you, and hope you are enjoying the Locked On Giants podcast and the coverage from training camp. So I mentioned that I had some thoughts regarding Daniel Jones and the quarterbacks and the plan for week two in this preseason game. And I'm going to start there with the quarterbacks. Pat Shurmur has not said yet what the plan is as far as playtime distribution, but what I'm guessing is going to be the case is Eli Manning is probably going to go a quarter and maybe a series or so into the second quarter. And then we're going to see Daniel Jones go into, you know, the second quarter, into the third quarter, maybe to start the fourth quarter, and then either one of Tanny or Lauletta to finish up the game. Now, last week, Daniel Jones, as everybody knows, had that really impressive showing. Couple of things worth noting there. I've mentioned before that Jones was pretty much working off of his first read, but what wasn't really discussed is that in those plays that Jones ran, we saw a little bit of the RPO options where it was, you know, a fake handoff and then a quick, you know, first read and then boom, throw the ball to the receiver. So we're starting to see some of those RPO concepts that Jones ran in college that I think the Giants are looking for him to run down the line. And he did well with them. They were very elementary. So I think they're going to probably, you know, increase that in week two, give them a few more of those, give them some more complex reads to make and whatnot, and just see how he does. The other thing that I think Daniel Jones is going to be asked to do, and this is very important, is deal with halftime. Now, you know, he didn't have to deal with halftime last week, but, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, a lot of times teams kind of go into the locker room at the half and, you know, it's a matter of, you know, unwinding a little bit, then winding back up and getting started again. So keeping that continuity up is going to be important for him. So let's say, for example, he finishes on a hot streak and then halftime comes and, you know, he's got to start up again. That's something I think they're going to want to see him, you know, how he handles. I've also mentioned before, how is he going to handle the 2-minute drill? And I would suspect if he does get the playing time, you know, like I said, a little bit into the second quarter, we will get an opportunity to see how he operates that two-minute offense, which we did not see last time. So really a lot of stuff left for Daniel Jones to show. He's made progress. He's looked good. He's been a quick study, but still a long, long way to go before, you know, you can officially anoint him as the starting quarterback. And oh, by the way, Eli Manning in practice, he just lit it up on Sunday. He had a strong practice. And, you know, what Eli hasn't confirmed this, but you can pretty much tell that he is really motivated. He knows that his job is to keep Daniel Jones on the bench for the coming season. And, you know, so far so good with Eli. I know he didn't look good in the one series that he had, but, you know, who's to say that he wouldn't have looked good if, you know, had he been allowed to continue. So the jury's still out. And I just think all these people who are saying that the clock has started ticking now based on how the snaps were distributed in that first preseason game, I just think they're getting a little ahead of themselves, to be honest with you. Still a lot of preseason football to play, and looking forward to seeing that, to be honest with you. All right, let me just a couple of things about the defense. The starting defense, the one thing that really bothered me last week about their performance is how easily the Jets marched down the field. And I was a little surprised by the play of the defensive secondary because, quite frankly, you know, in practice, they had looked good. There hadn't been very many in the way of, you know, busted coverages or miscommunications or anything like that. And we just didn't see the same, you know, carryover from the practice field to the game field. So I'm going to be looking for a little bit more of that in week two. I'm going to also be looking for maybe a little bit more on the pressure end of it because I don't think the Giants really, you know, sent any pressure at quarterback Sam Darnold of the Jets. The other thing I kind of am looking for is, I'm not going to say he had a horrible game, but I really wanted to see more from O'Shane Zimenez. I thought in coverage, he looked a little lost at times last week. I also thought that, you know, against the run, he kind of got, swallowed up by the, you know, in the wash, which you're going to kind of expect, you know, for a rookie. But I just would like to see a little bit more from him in week two. I think he's going to get a big opportunity to show it. And then one final thing about the defense that was kind of a head scratcher for me, and that was Dexter Lawrence only was a two down player against the Jets. Now, I'm not sure why the Giants did that. They basically kept him inside rather than moving him up and down the line as we have seen in practice. But, you know, to his credit, Dexter Lawrence did take up multiple blockers, which is, you know, is part of his job. He's going to be one of those space eaters. But I was really kind of hoping to see him, you know, be a little bit more mobile than what he was. And again, that was the role he was asked to play. So it's not necessarily, you know, my criticizing him. It's more of a coaching decision than anything. But I'd like to see him be a little bit more mobile in week two when the Giants host the Chicago Bears on Friday night and just, you know, kind of get after the quarterback a little bit more. And I think maybe they will do that, you know, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Mitchell Trubisky, who is the Bears quarterback, I think he's a little bit more mobile than Sam Darnold. But we'll see if, of course, that's in the mix. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. Stay tuned. When we come back, I'll have that interview, that one-on-one interview with Giant inside linebacker Ty Davis. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. I'm Patricia Traina, and as promised, I have a one-on-one interview that I did at training camp with Giants inside linebacker Ty Davis, who talks about his progress, his development, and his conversion from being a college safety to a linebacker. So here is that interview. Just talk a little bit about the transition. You were a college safety, and obviously that's one of the reasons, I think, why you've been so good in coverage, so promising in coverage. What kind of transition was involved going from college safety to the position you're playing now?
For one, you know, I just have to get used to playing closer to the box. So with that, you know, reading, you know, linemen, there's tendency if there's heavy in their stance, light in their stance, reading guard to guard to the back and different things like that. Most importantly, like shedding blocks, using your hands, that was something that I still, you know, I'm growing and growing comfortable with now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I first moved to linebacker, it was definitely a growing pain. It was, you know, always throw your shoulder in there, you know, thinking, you know, it's safety. But, you know, inside the box, you just get covered up, so you can't use, you have to use your hands. So it was something that I kind of had to learn through experience, and I've become, you know, a lot more comfortable with it now. And another thing would be, I was related down in the box more, some, but just, it's just a different, like, you know, ball game, a lot more action and different things going on, but whereas a safety, you can kind of sit back and see the whole picture, like, when, you know, linebacker, once you see it, go get it, and, you know, a little bit more aggressive. So.
Coming forward, obviously, is natural. We're used to running forward, but do you find that having had that experience at safety, when you have to backpedal and turn and run with guys, do you find that to be kind of like, I don't know, riding a bike almost?
Yeah, it definitely, you know, it feels, you know, like riding a bike. You know, it's something that once you learn how to do, you know, you never really forget. So, you know, being out, you know, in space and being able to play in the space, you know, it feels pretty good just because you're used to doing it. And, you know, as a guy who probably didn't play safety, is not used to playing in the space, it's flipping and slips like that. So it definitely helps me out a lot now.
You mentioned one of the things you was a growing pain for you was shedding blocks. Did you do boxing or any kind of like hand type of training, you know, at Krav Maga or anything like that?
Didn't do boxing. I actually wanted to do that. I'm probably in the plan for the future, but I did something. I can't remember the actual name, but it's more like a hand-eye coordination thing where you're like pressing in the lights of it, different things like that. Just kind of work your side of vision and just your hands. But other than that, it's just, you know, been kind of like the old-fashioned hit the sled. You know, just kind of going to those good a little bit.
Did you also have to change your body type? Did you have to add more bulk to handle the...
Yeah, so when I got moved to linebacker, I was probably 210 at the time in college. So during that season, it was pretty tough. I remember our second game was against LSU, and I mean, I'm 210 pounds playing middle linebacker against the SEC school, which, you know, was definitely one of my best games of my senior year, but it was also one of my worst games in terms of knowing what a linebacker do. It was basically based on athletic ability. I've put on 20 pounds since then. So, you know, I've definitely been.
Since your senior year of college?
Mm-hmm. I actually came here and went 217. So I've put up, since I've been here at the Giants, I've put on 13 to 15 pounds. So, you know, and, you know, credit to, you know, the hard work and I've been doing. Credit to, you know, the training staff and, you know, the weight training staff, Teak and all those guys, beginning with me, developing a plan for me to be able to gain that good weight and still be able to move excessively how I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you gain too much weight, now you kind of lose some of that quickness. So
right.
How did you come across the ideal weight for you, I guess?
You know, I just kind of left it up to, you know, the weight training guys and kind of things. It just relate to them and tell them, you know, do I feel comfortable playing at this weight, running at this weight, and based off their observations, what they think, and then we kind of come to a common goal. So,
what have you? I'm sure you know you got Tree next to you, you got BJ, you know, you got some veterans, and you know, who you, last year you worked with. I mean, what are some of the things they told you about playing linebacker in terms of the mentality you have to have, in terms of the skills, in terms of just overall approach to the job?
You know, all those guys has helped me, and I've learned something from all of them. You know, the most common thing is, you know, to never try to do too much. You know, get the call, you know, make the call, be loud and assertive. And just kind of as you're doing the call and stuff, go through your mind before the snap. You know, look at the formation. What could find something that can, like, help you and tip you into, you know, knowing what's about to happen. And just kind of at the end of the day, have fun with it. You know, with this game, you know, we get so caught up, you know, trying to be perfectionists and everything, you know, and we kind of forget just, you know, at the end of the day, this is football, you know, you want to have fun with it. And usually when, you know, guys are playing their best is when, you know, they're tuned in technically and schematic-wise, but they're also having fun with it, so.
Have you found your voice as a linebacker, you know, in case you ever have to run the huddle?
Yes, I have. You know, like last year I was a little bit more, you know, hesitant just because I'm still trying to learn the playbook and everything and not feeling as comfortable with saying and just, man, being a rookie, you know, controlling, you know, a huddle with guys that, you know, are older than you, couple of years. You know, it's definitely a weird feeling, but it's something that you kind of have to grow into and just realize that, you know, you're here too. So, and all you guys want to have a common goal.
Because you're very soft-spoken, so, you know, it, usually the soft-spoken guys, they say, are the loudest in the huddle. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, mind you.
No, it's not. I mean, I definitely can flip the switch and turn it on and get a little loud once I'm out on the field. So,
what do you want to show everybody, including your coaches, by the time preseason's over regarding the switch that you're making to linebacker?
That, you know, a guy that's, you know, still athletic and still can be able to cover and, you know, fly around the field, but also, you know, be a linebacker. And that's, you know, come down to it, stop the run.
All right, Giant fans, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I want to thank Ty Davis for coming out to speak with me and share some of his thoughts. You know, Ty Davis, just so you guys know, he had done a media session before I taped that interview with him, and he was kind enough to, I'm sure he repeated some of the answers he gave to a couple of the other reporters that were interviewing him, but, you know, he could have been more gracious and more accommodating. So I do appreciate it. And as always, I appreciate you for tuning in and listening to the Locked On Giants podcast. So on that note, I'm going to call it a show. Wish y'all a very, very happy Monday, and we will be back tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. Get those questions in as soon as possible. The plan is for me to tape the Twitter Tuesday podcast at 8 o'clock on Monday evening. So you have until then to get your questions into me for the week. Tag them, ask PTrain, or email them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.